All right, Shabbos, say good morning. We are continuing on page Resh Yud Dalet. Remember again, Perek Chof, and the topic of Mishkal HaChasidus. Literally again, weighing when to implement the attribute of Chasidus and when not to. So, Hine HaTorah Tzivsa. To give you another example, the Torah commanded us, Hochiach Tochiach Es HaMisecha. An interesting halacha. Torah commanded us to rebuke, right? Literally rebuke your fellow, which means what? That if you see someone doing something wrong, the idea is that you should tell them, you should convey it to them, you should ultimately go ahead and rebuke the individual and let them know of their wrongdoing. Now, the truth is, the word rebuke is a very strong word, which has a negative connotation to it. But really what it means is, if you see someone doing something wrong, you should inform them of their wrongdoing. But of course, you know, the halacha is, the kamapadim, Yikanis adam lohiach chotim b'makom o bizman shein dvar b'nishman. Rabbi say there is an art form to rebuke, right? There is an art form ultimately to going ahead and informing people of wrongdoing. There's a way to say things. There's a way to approach people. There's also sometimes the idea that if you know that someone is not going to listen, that you don't say something. Because sometimes it's just better to leave things alone if there is no hope of ultimately changing them. So that's what it says, V'chama pamim. It happens many times. Yikanis adam lochiach chotim b'makom o mizman shein dvarav nishman. It happens where sometimes a person will go in with good intentions to rebuke someone over wrongdoing. And what happens? And he knows no one's going to listen. Right, the person who he's speaking to is simply not going to heed what it is that he's saying. And so what ends up happening? V'gorim lahem lehisparitz, yoser berisham, ulechalal hashem lahosif al chatasam pesha. And what happens? Sometimes when you rebuke someone, and they're totally not receptive to hearing what you're saying, they don't want to hear what you're saying, and they're not interested in what you're saying, not only do they not respond to the hochacha, not only do they not respond to the quote-unquote rebuke, but what? It sometimes makes matters even worse. It makes matters even worse. That ultimately, again, it fuels their feelings of negativity and their negative behavior. As he explains, he says, V'gorim lam l'spraz yos v'rishom l'chal Hashem v'l'hosif al chalasam pasha. Hini ki yotzi bazeh, eino min ha-chasidos ela lishtok. So let's say it's a perfect example. So the Midah of Chasidus says that ultimately, again, you try to go ahead and perform the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an acute fashion all of the time. So I see someone doing something wrong. Again, it is my sacred obligation, my biblical obligation, to step up and to say something. When is that true? When there is a chance or a possibility that the person is going to listen, but if the person is not going to listen, and again, may make matters even worse, then what does Chasidus say? Be quiet. So Chasidus will say in that case, be quiet. Don't say anything. What is the point of exacerbating the situation? The whole point of Hochacha is we work under the assumption that sometimes people do something wrong because they don't know. So if you point it out with love and with understanding, so they'll modify or they'll change their behaviors. But sometimes that's not the case. Sometimes a person is going to do what they're going to do no matter what. And sometimes things are much more complicated. And sometimes people are angry or people are upset. And if you try to go ahead and encourage them to engage in course-correcting activity, it makes matters worse. So what does Chasidus say under those circumstances? Let it go. Let it go. Just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. Right? Just better off letting it go. That's what we'll say. What do you see from here? You see from here that ultimately, again, this is the example of sometimes the Midah of Chasidus says to act, but the Mishko, you have to weigh Chasidus. Sometimes Chasidus tells you to go ahead and not act, to refrain from action. He goes on. He says, this happens to be an exceptionally important Gemara. He says, Chazal tell us, Kishem Shemitzvah Lomar Davar Hanishma, the same way that it is a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, Kach mitzvah shelo lomar es she'eino nishma. It is also a mitzvah to not say something that will not be heard. Right? Which means sometimes it's a mitzvah to speak up, right? When there's a chance that what you're going to say is going to make a difference, when there's a chance that people are going to heed your words, when there's a chance that ultimately, again, your words will be well received and could be the catalyst for change, then there's a mitzvah to say something. But at other times, there's a mitzvah ultimately just to be quiet. When you know your words are not going to be heard, you know your words are not going to have an impact, sometimes, and I will say, by the way, just as an aside, this is such an incredibly dramatic and important klal in life, because so many times people say things, and again, I'm talking about how people have like important things to say. People say things because ultimately, again, what they have to say is important, and that's fine, but sometimes people also say it, feel a need to say things because they feel a need to express themselves. So if you just feel the need to express yourself, so you could say that to your spouse, you could say that to your friend, right? But when talking to other people, a person has to measure their words carefully. And if your words can have a positive impact on the other, then say it. But if it's not going to have any positive impact on the other, then ultimately conventional wisdom is, or at least spiritual wisdom is, don't say it. Don't say it. The same way there's a mitzvah to say something that will be heard, there's also a mitzvah to refrain from saying something that will not be heard. Re'ei Pashat. Pashatu. He says, so again, these are all just different examples of the need to weigh chassidus, right? That's what all of this is. The midah of chassidus, the midah of piety. So all we're seeing over here is that sometimes piety demands action, and sometimes action actually produces the opposite of piety. In which case, again, piety under those circumstances would mean to refrain from action, inaction. He goes on. Re'ei Pashatu, Sharai L'chol Adam Lios Maktiv Ratzla Dvar Mitzvah L'shtad Lios Mina Oskim Ba. So it's obvious that every person should try to run, to be part of a chaver, to be part of a group, to be part of an initiative to perform a mitzvah. However, Achini V'Pamim Yochol Lihi Valid Mizeh Meriva She Yoser Tizbaz HaMitzvah V'Yizchal Al Bashim Shamayim Mimash Yizkabim. You know, sometimes people get together to perform a mitzvah, and I would say you could see already that it's a combustible group of personalities. And although, again, their intention is to do something good, this may not be the chevra that's good for me. Right? This just, the intent is beautiful, and the objective is beautiful, but the collection of personalities may be a little bit less than beautiful, and therefore it's just not a good idea for me to participate in this. And sometimes, again, as a result of these types of initiatives with sometimes these difficult personalities, not only does the job not get done, and not only is there not the Kiddush Hashem, but sometimes there could, God forbid, be a Kiddush Hashem. So I'll say, so again, same idea. Sometimes the Midah of Chassidus says, an incredible opportunity, jump on it to be part of it. And sometimes the Midah of Chassidus says, you should pass on this one. We should pass on this one. He goes on. He says, "V'chein amru zechon l'bracha bein halavim zalashonam mipnei shahayu yodim shekomi shetoin ba'aron scharo meruba hayu manichnas hashulchan v'amrar v'amizbechos v'kulan rotzin la'aron litos schar u'mitoch kach zemeri va'omer anito inkan v'zemeri va'omer anito inkan u'mitoch kach hayu noagin kalus rosh." So it says it's actually quite amazing that the Medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah discusses the idea that when it came to carrying the utensils of the Mishkan, it came to carrying the Aron, so apparently carrying the Aron was an incredible skula, gave an incredible promise of wealth. So what would happen? Everybody wanted to carry the Aron. But what ended up happening? No one ended up carrying or was willing to carry the shulchan, the table, or the menorah, or the other instruments. So what do you see from here? Now again, their desire to carry the menorah is beautiful and wonderful. But you see that in their desire to do one thing, something else suffered. Something else suffered. So all the Ramchal is saying is here, there was like an incredible midah of chassidus to carry the aron, but that midah of chassidus backfired and ultimately created a lack of kavod for other things. Right, well, so we'll have to stop over here for today. We'll pick up again. We're going to still continue in this topic in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. But the incredible yisod, how every action has to be weighed on its own. Even something that may look like piety right now in the moment could have a negative repercussion and cause the antithesis of piety in the future. All right, we'll stop here.